Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Late Show with Francie Weatherman.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Open mic's already started with a TV broadcast.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what we're going to do. Last week we were doing the show, and here on Francie and Friends, don't worry, folks. Tonight's a happy show, but we will go ahead and announce it. Last week, our good friend John Link did pass away.
Our condolences to John and his family and his friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we did an open mic last night, last week, and we were really excited that Edward X. Young called in and gave us all the details and everything. And I think we gave John Link a great send-off. He's a dear friend of all of ours. And so we didn't get to play all the clips that we wanted to play. So tonight we're going to play those clips, and we are going to say, John Link, we love you. You're always here in spirit. And I'm going to start this off with, I mean,
right.
I thought since we restarted the show, we've had a lot of great moments. But I don't think that any moment, top to one, I played it twice last week. I'm going to play it again. I'm going to start off the show with this one. Because, Tom, is like you said, this is going to live in infamy.
I'm telling you that when
it is Tom Sawyer talking with Sal Lizard, and I think you even caught him off guard. You definitely caught me off guard. I didn't get it until, like, later, and after we did the show and everything, I was rolling. I was like, did our little Tom really say that?
He well, of course, sure I'm going to say a lot of things like that. Yeah, I did. I'm proud of it, too.
Why don't you set it up for us, Tom, in your words, because you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, I guess we got, it's hard to put it in the context, but we got talking about it was, God, what's that porn star's name? The
Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, Ron Jeremy and Sal were talking about whipping it out and stuff like that. And, you know, let's compare sizes of their masculinity. And, you know, me, I just kind of, being a smart ass I am, mentioned about, you know, possibly sword fighting or in the vernacular. I thought that was more polite than saying getting in a different version of a cockfight, but, you know. So.
Yeah, and I do have to admit that when I got it later on that night, when I got it, I had the vision in my head.
I know, because I was the one that she called at 3 o'clock in the morning, going, "Oh my
Jesus.
God, do you know what Tom was talking about?"
Makes you wonder how they parry and thrust, huh?
Yeah, right.
Man, I gotta tell you, it was so subtle the way that you threw it in there, and I think that that's why it was so funny, is the way that you just kind of threw it in there. It was kind of like a grenade with Sal too. It was kind of like 1 second, boom. And Sal even cracked up laughing. And I did talk to Sal on the phone this week, and he said that he would like to call in tonight. But, you know, Sal, he's got his grandbabies with him this weekend. So I think that's a good reason to not call in. And I told him that we're going to play that again. And he laughed. He remembered it.
Wow. I guess I made my mark in Blog Talk Radio, huh?
Yeah, you sure did.
So. I go on at 6 tomorrow, you know.
Free autographs.
Yeah.
Hey, you should make t-shirts to say, "I got into a sword fight with Sal Lizard."
Yeah.
Tell them about your next book signing.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. There you go. All right, so here is...
Or you could just pull your pockets out and imitate an elephant, right? You know.
Yeah. this was absolutely a great clip.
I'm a horror writer, so I'm warped, so I come up with... I'm a horror writer.
Yeah, but
horror
I did not know that you had that in you, and it was just so brilliant the way you just slid that right in there.
Mm. Oh, God.
You know.
Yeah, he just slides you right in.
We're going to play the clip, and everybody listen to Tom's very great sliding in of a zinger that will live on.
Yeah.
Forever.
I'm good for one every now and then.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
I challenged him, though. I walked up to him at a convention in St. Louis, and I said, all right, Jeremy. I said, it's time to get real here. I said, I think my sexual organ is bigger than yours. And he goes, really? He goes, because, you know, I'll just throw mine on the table right here. I don't care. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. I said, I don't think I can get mine to out of my head. And he goes, what? And I said, you know, my brain is my sexual, biggest sexual organ. And he goes, oh, you probably have me there.
Yeah, he didn't try to sword fight with him.
Yeah.
Although that would have been an interesting fight.
That would have been an interesting
fight. Wait, you can. Let me ask you, Dave. Tell us about As Dead As It Gets. Tell us what is this concept about? Oh.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm talking about my film, As Good As Dead.
As Good As
Dead. Well, you gotta get that title right.
Even in our tagline
is you're either the good, the dead, or as good as dead.
Right.
I said it right like 100 times, so I mean it's not a big deal at all. So you know what I mean?
Wow. See, Tom had a great moment and I had a moment.
Oh no, we're a team, man. That goes all the goals together here, you know.
When things go right and things go wrong.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of our show in a nutshell, though. That's what makes us so fun. Yeah.
And I think that's what makes people listen to us. They're like, okay, when are they going to screw up? It's like Gemini Burke and David Madison and a lot of guests are saying, wait, am I... Because things are sliding into home and we're doing really good. And our past guests are like, wait, am I on Francie's show? When is something going to screw up?
Yeah. Part of our charm.
We're waiting for the Francie flub.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like, in fact, I do remember, and this was when I started getting sick. We're not going to go into details with that one, but we had David Lee Madison on the show, and he did say, am I on Francie's show? I'm wondering, when is something going to go wrong? Francie, are you there? Francie? And I came back, and I was like, sorry, Dave, I just threw up. He goes, there you go.
Like you call it an F&F club, Francie and Friends club, you know, F&F.
Yeah, Francie and Friends flop. Another Francie moment.
F&F club.
This Francie club has been brought to you by your friends at Black Bedsheet Books.
Yep.
And Nick's going, whoa. No, leave me out of that one. I got nothing to do with that. That's all on you guys. You're the one who keeps saying, let's do a show.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do with that one. Look at me. I'm not even calling in yet.
Whoops.
I think he did, though. I think
Whoops.
I hear an echo.
Did he?
I don't know. I'm outside right now. But I do hear an echo, so I think he might have just called in.
Cool.
Which I guess we have to bring on Nick.
Well, this coming Saturday, I'm at FantasticCon in Port Huron, Michigan. So I just want everybody to know. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then speaking of this coming Saturday, I need to give a big shout out to my buddy Joey Ruiz at Way Back When Antiques and Collectibles in beautiful Margate, Florida, because this Saturday is going to be the big 6-year anniversary.
Woohoo!
Ta-da!
All right.
Yep.
That's cool.
It's
yeah,
really
I got the chance to talk to him. He's a really nice guy.
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, we've had, I say weeks, I'm there practically every weekend, but he's had so many random celebrity guests go through there. It's not even funny. So, Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees picked up a guitar and even did a free performance in a matter of speaking. And
nice.
Andy Garcia, Joe Pesci. So,
just because we get older doesn't mean we have to grow up. Hell, we like stuff, our toys. You know?
Exactly. So
I'm too old to grow up now anyways. How about that? You grow up, you get old. At least in your thinking.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Tom. You'd be drooling if you saw the horror collection.
Oh, probably.
Yep.
Yeah, or probably the comic books, like the old Twilight Zone comic books and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, God, if you saw the comic book collection, I think that you would probably be there for at least 3 weeks.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, or the Creepy magazine and Eerie magazine from the 60s and early 70s.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I love that, man. I grew up on them. So,
yeah, he even had some of the original first Spider-Man, too.
Wow. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, this makes it part of the fun. Outside of taking a writing break, is just swinging by there and, to see what new goodies did he find this week? The $10 million question.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably why you got celebrities coming in there. They don't want to grow up either. They want to get stuff from their youth.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, my mother threw that shit out when I was away at college or away for the weekend or something, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm rebuilding my Star Wars collection as we speak, but the prices aren't the same from when we were growing up.
No, hell no. It's like 15 times more.
Yeah.
Don't you wish you still had your Star Wars action figures?
Yeah.
When you're seeing them, like even the Darth Vader head. The Darth Vader head, where you were able to put all your Star Wars action figures in it, is worth a fortune. How many of us had that damn Darth Vader?
I still do, so thank God.
Well, I'm a little bit older than you guys. So I was already 16
now,
or 17 when it came out. So. So I was a little bit older than that, and by that time it was, I don't know, Playboy and other stuff, so I was a little older.
I don't want to say how old. I think I was in elementary school.
Bless you.
That's Nick. Nick's on.
That's me.
They don't know.
Hey, Nick.
Hey,
I know that
hey,
burp.
I was listening in on the Star Wars stuff. I still have I in the garage, I have Star Wars dolls in their packages hanging on the ceiling with tacks.
Oh, sweet.
Not as many as I used to. Actually, there was a short little story here, but when I was around, I think it was 10 years old or something, I had this, I don't know what it was, but I used to go into toy stores with my parents and then used to separate myself from my parents and go through aisles or like Target, or not Target, FedMart turned into Target, actually. FedMart, it's a department kind of store like Target, Walmart, back in the day. And I would always go and I would steal Star Wars dolls. I would there would usually be like a whole, like half an aisle full of Star Wars dolls back in the day. I'm talking the late 70s, early 80s, probably late 70s. I'm thinking about 10 years old. But yeah, and I used to like at FedMart, I would, there would be like a stack of Star Wars action figures in the front of the store, and I'd just take a big handful, and I'd go to the garden department in one of their sheds that was on display, and go inside and just take out the Star Wars dolls from their packages and put them in my pockets. And that lasted for like a few months, and I had this big Star Wars doll collection. And then one day I went out with my dad, and he always like would take us out for like fast food on Sundays after church, but it was just me and him, and he treated me out to McDonald's, and that was kind of special. And then he said, you know what, I need to go to FedMart and pick up something for a minute, so let's go there. So we went to FedMart, and I went my own way, did the Star Wars thing in the shed again. That time I got cut and I got handcuffed, and I got put in the back room, and my dad got called. I was really embarrassed because he was really nice that day, and we went to McDonald's together and all that crap. And it's like, and they were saying, yeah, we've been looking for you for like 3 months. And the police came, and I remember this, being in a chair in the corner going, okay, I got five stormtroopers, and I got a Princess Leia, and I got a Princess Leia Empire Strikes Back in the Cloud City, and I got a Darth Vader, and I was like listing the stuff that I took before, and my dad had to pay for everything, and he took me home and he was the kind of dad that back in those days he took out his belt, but that time he didn't, and I just was confined to my room, and it was a whole terrible experience for my, guess I was legendary for 3 months as like the Star Wars dealer, so I don't know, but
Star Wars,
yeah, that
bandit.
Was when I was 10. Yeah, that was terrible. But I had a huge Star Wars collection. I only told them, actually, probably 50% of what I'll never forget crying and listing all the dolls that I took. It was like seven Jawas and Tusken Raiders.
So
and there is a lady that was writing everything on a note.
So there you go. There you go, children. Learn a lesson.
Yeah,
don't
go to the death
steal bag. Because there's cameras now. There's cameras everywhere. Big Brother's watching you.
And the box of the Death Star is bigger than you are.
Yes. So don't steal.
Nope.
All right.
And then you know what made it worse too is my dad paid for those, and I had to like do yard work and stuff to pay him back for that. But in the long run, all those Star Wars dolls were mine. The thing is, in high school, I desperately needed money, and I sold them all in a yard sale. I didn't steal these, but over the years, I would collect Micronauts. Yeah, I was an avid Micronaut collector, and I'll never forget at the same time, around the same period of time that I sold all the Star Wars dolls for like dirt cheap, I put all of my Micronauts in a big bag, and I sold them all for $5. It's like at a yard sale, and it's like now that I'm grown up and I know the ways of the eBay and I, you know, all that stuff, I realize, you know, if I only kept those damn things, I would make a ton of money if I were to sell them now.
Two words, early retirement.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of Star Wars dolls, too, this will be really quick, but there's a legend, like a myth in the Star Wars doll collector's universe about a Boba Fett that was released at the as a special extra for the first, like, I don't know, five or six Star Wars dolls that came out by Kenner. And that Boba Fett had a launching rocket in the back of it. And I've heard debates saying whether or not that actually existed. I think people that know better, they know that it did exist at one point for a short period of time. I had that.
Oh, wow.
I had that Boba Fett with the launching. They decided not to. They took that back and they made it so that it can't launch because it could kill kids, shoot them in the eye, you know.
Did you see what that went for?
I had that and I remember that, so I know it existed.
Yeah,
that was
did you see
back
what it went
when,
for
when
on the,
Banner.
Yeah, so, sorry to interrupt. Did you see what that went for on the auction bid this last go around?
No, I haven't been paying attention lately.
Oh, Lord. Last I heard, it was almost 50 grand.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the most legendary action figure probably that ever existed. But, yeah, I remember that. I remember you can order, Luke, Han, Chewbacca, Princess Leia, Darth Vader. I think maybe that was it. And they weren't even made yet. You had to pre-order them during the Christmas season. So I think if I'm not, I could stand corrected, but I think that Christmas, 78, when Star Wars came out, kids would like find under their Christmas trees a gift that was actually a certificate entitling them to those action figures and a free Boba Fett or something extra, something like that, I think. And then they would get that later, in a month.
We do have a caller.
Yeah, I was just going to warn you about that. You got
to ring around the caller.
Yep.
But, Nick, I would just like to say karma.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you know.
All right, area code 954.
You're on the air.
Who's this, William?
Yes, it is William. Hey, Joey.
What's up, buddy? I've been hearing you guys. I was actually observing and hearing the Star Wars guy who was talking about all the back in the day with General Mills, which is great. That's a great story he was doing.
Hey, that'll be Nick.
That'd be me.
Well, story goes is that I probably have your collection. No, I'm just playing. But I do remember those toys as a 70s, 80s kid. So we actually have it here. I'm looking at them right now. So I have all 12, you know, which is fantastic because it brings back memories, great memories of our past childhood, which kids today, unfortunately, forgot about that. You get it?
Oh, you devil.
Wait, this is,
I'm so jealous.
This is Joey, right? Joey Ruiz?
Yes, this is Joey Ruiz.
This is Joey. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm the one who called you. This is Nick. He wrote the novelization for Halloween 4. Nick, I told you about Joey.
This is why I'm excited, because my girlfriend is a huge fan, and we do collect a lot of horror. And when I got that information from you the other day, which is fantastic, I showed her, she was stunned, and we are actually interested. You know, as a collector and a store owner, we love it.
Okay, I will tell you, Nick, what's sold?
Oh, hey, you're the guy that Francie called the other night.
Yes.
That is correct.
Oh, okay, yes, she told me. She said, hey, and so I kind of wrote her a list and everything. We sold, half the stuff already.
I know. I'm really interested in the script. And actually, the reason why is that here in South Florida, we do a lot of the conventions, the horror conventions, and we just recently met one of the actors who played Michael Myers on the Rob Zombie, Taylor Mayne, he's a fantastic person. And, you know, speaking to him about the Rob Zombie version of Halloween compared to the other versions was really interesting because, you know, this gentleman actually played Michael Myers, which is fantastic, you know?
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
So we get along with that whole idea, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I met all of them back in the day, Pasadena, and the 25th anniversary of the Halloween franchise. And that's when I debuted the special edition of Halloween 4 back then. And I was really for lack of a better word, and I love this word, flabbergasted. I love that word.
Flabbergasted.
To be invited to such an event as a guest celebrity among many. And I got to meet just about everybody and partied with just about everybody. All the people that played Michael Myers in the past and all the other actors. And that was something I'll never forget. Even if I get Alzheimer's when I'm 90, I will still, I'll talk about that one event.
I mean, you got to look at today, you know. Unfortunately, the imagination now with the whole scenario with kids, a lot of people who are collecting are in the past. So, for example, you know, as we get older and we're getting older and are going to our 50s, we're just remembering things that we had fun. And, you know, the benefit of that is, like, as a collector and a store owner, you know, we take pride on what we remember. So, like, aura, like, from toys, from imagination. And you know what? I think that's what's happening as generations go on after we leave, is that what happens to that, the imagination for kids today? Everything is so digital and technology is actually driving the imagination away.
Yeah.
So what we do here at Way Back When is that, you know what, we're bringing back memories of everything from your past and everything bring forward. So, you know, looking at kids today and looking at, even I have kids, don't get me wrong, my 14-year-old, my 15-year-old, you know, everything is digital. Everything is either downloaded, streamlined, or there is no more that imagination for kids anymore, like playing with Star Wars, playing with G.I. Joes, playing with toys, you know, today. Everything has changed so rapidly that kids don't have that imagination anymore. So, you know, one day, you know, we sit back as we get older, and now we become kids. So, like you said, we're going back in time and remembering a time that we had fun, and now we are collecting, we're preserving, and we're hopefully passing on to the next generation to understand, hey, there's a time to be a kid, and there's a time to be an adult. And now, as adults, we want to be kids again. You know, that's how I look at it. And, you know, I'm having fun.
You know, there was once a time for a very long time that people didn't think that way. Think of Citizen Kane. And he was all resolute and adult and did adult things and everything, but all he could think about was Rosebud, was his sleigh when he was a kid. As time progresses and generations go to, you know, future generation, we've over the past, especially like maybe 30 years or so, especially in this day and age, we as adults are more comfortable going back to our childhoods and you know, keeping our collections, our toy collections and stuff. I've never seen that before, and it's never really happened all that much. There's always been collectors. But it's more common nowadays to actually be a nerd and be 50 and be a nerd.
Yeah.
Oh, nerds are so attractive. Nerds, you're the heartthrob now.
That's the whole thing.
Like you guys say, that's the great thing about being a nerd. You know, we as nerds, when we were younger, we were bullied. We were scared. But look at us now, you know, we're going back and, you know, you could be that nerd and say, hey, I have a great collection. And, you know, like my girlfriend, you know, I think she's the biggest nerd, and it's sexy. You know why? Because at the same time, you appreciate not only to share something with your significant other, your partner in crime, but at the same time, you are remembering a lot of great things with your family, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, people who are no longer with us anymore. And you know what? And it's going to continue. So I could tell you that I am the biggest nerd. And you know what? When people look at me and they see our collection at home or they'll see our store, we are trying to show people, preserve it, preserve. And let's have fun with it, you know? And that's what we do.
Exactly. I don't think kids today can hold two action figures.
Where am I located? I'm in Florida. I'm in South Florida, and I know you guys are in the West Coast. Well, we're in South Florida. We're called Way Back When. We're this one-stop shop. So when I say one-stop shop, you know, you have comic book guys out there, you have toy guys out there, and you know what? We decided to come up with an idea for in the last 6 years to bring you everything in one. So if you're a comic book person, if you're a toy person, if you're into coins, I'm bringing back everyone, you know? So I don't care. When you pull us up, you'll see it. We do war memorabilia. We do sports memorabilia. We do rock and roll, hardcore. We do everything at that one-stop shop to let people know, is, hey, it's okay. Let's have some fun. You know, if you want to be that nerd, let's just do it together, you know? And, you know, on top of it, it's just showing showing the history and having fun at the same time. And I love
and,
it.
And also one other thing, which is why I've always, you know, for the past 6 years, I've always been endorsing and supporting Way Back When, is because, you know, you, Joey, you're one of the few local businesses that actually supports the local authors and artists. I mean,
that's,
you know, between letting them set up the tables out there and all the way through to book signings. So, you know, hats off to you for that part.
Well, I thank you. And that's what we're trying to do, is, like, you know, there's a lot of businesses that out there that just look for that money. They look for that dollar. They're chasing the dollar. At Way Back When, we're not chasing the dollar. We want you to come in here and we want you to have fun and relax. And when we do events, we ask local artists, local toy collectors, anyone who wants to sell, it's free. That means you bring a table, you set up in front of our store, we enjoy the atmosphere, and the benefit of that is that we network together. And that's the word, network together. Because everybody's chasing that dollar, but sometimes you just got to stop and say, hey, where's the fun in it? So the fun is what?
Exactly.
Collecting. Yep.
Maybe we can exchange information, because I'm a publisher, owner of Black Bedsheet Books, and I have about a little under 200 authors, and some are in Florida. They would be very eager to set up a signing there, horror, science fiction, fantasy authors.
Oh, most definitely. I'm in. I mean, if you want, you could check us out on Instagram. You could check us out. It's very simple. On Instagram, WBW Antique.
Oh, cool.
Which is great.
Yeah, Nick.
So
William and I will send you his Facebook page.
Yes, definitely,
okay.
Definitely. But I just wanted to step in. I was William gave me the information. I'm saying you guys are doing a fantastic job. I love the concept. And you know what? Continue.
Joey, be a guest on the show.
I will be a guest on the show.
That'd be
I
cool.
Thank you
good.
Guys for allowing me to
you
call in.
You know what?
In.
We're going to commit right now. We're on Sunday
we're
night. December's
Sunday night,
open.
I'm in. We are in.
How about
I'll
December the 5th? How about
December
the 5th? Will you be our guest?
I am in December the 5th, Way Back When.
All right. So
cool.
December the 5th, we got you.
You got me. And I just want to tell you guys, I know you're in the West Coast. Have a great evening. William, have a great evening. And there's
Joey,
always what
I was born in Florida.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was
nice,
born in
nice.
Stanford, Florida.
Oh,
right outside of Orlando. Nick got me out of South Carolina, and he said, come to California. And I said, okay.
Well, definitely, cool. We are going to promote you guys as well on our Instagram. And on top of it, I like to say thank you. And William, it's awesome hearing your voice. And to the new guys, you know what? Thank you so much for allowing us to talk and chatter. But I got to go run, and I will see you
all
guys
right.
soon. All right. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Joey.
All right. You're welcome.
Cool. Take care, bud.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say that a guy told me once when I was doing a story on basically collecting, you know, grown-ups collecting toys, he says, the spirit of man doesn't age, so usually when we get about 40 to 50 years old, we want to buy back some of our youth and some of the fonder memories we had, so that's why we get into collectibles and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. You know, I don't think that any kid today can hold two action figures and have a bunch of them laying around, and they make those little noises when they're in a fight. They go, boom, boom. Boom.
Yeah.
As they shoot their
so
guns and you're shaking your whole body and go boom, boom, boom. That one's dead. Boom, boom. Pick up another one. Okay. That's what I did as a kid. You pick them up and it's like boom, boom. Boom.
Okay, don't forget the spaceships either.
I was a nerd too, and
that's okay.
Well,
I mean, I always say,
yeah,
the geek will inherit the earth.
There you go. Hey, I wanna play another clip. Love this clip. I love this clip because we have two of our guests. We have David Lee Madison talking about Vincent Price, which he praises. And we have another guest, Alan, who really hates Marlon Brando.
Mark Allen Pilgrim.
There we go. All right, here we go. Let's play this real quick. And me, I mean, just hearing that epic voice.
Why, thank you. Vincent's wasn't too bad either.
And it makes me laugh because I'll tell you what makes me laugh. What makes me laugh is that I have that kind of commitment, and I haven't had a big break yet. And yet people like Marlon Brando, who they rave and rant about, used to have his lines read in for an earpiece. Now,
yeah.
Can you imagine him on the stage with me? I'd run rings around him. I'd literally act circles. I'd act circles around him, you know? And yet they rave and rant about him, and yet he had his lines read to him. For him. They go on about the Godfather, oh, he's so good. Well, no, he wasn't, because he had his lines written on a wall in front of him. He was reading them, you know? But come on.
Is that was a great show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a great show.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember we asked him later on, we said, any upcoming actor coming into the business, what advice would you give him? And he said, run the freaking lines.
Yep.
And it did go back to Marlon Brando. And I thought that was really great that Mark Allen was very open with us, and I did not expect that. I was like, is Marlon Brando gonna like kick our asses? But
well, if he does, he's from
the dead,
so
I do think that he brought up a great point. You know, Marlon Brando took no time to learn his lines, and I thought he brought up a good point.
He did, you know, and you know, I'll be the first one to admit, I'm waiting in line, you know, for Mark Allen to finally get that big break, because Lord knows, the man's got enough talent, and he already has a fan base. We just got to get that last little push.
That Lord, and I loved it when I did ask him a question that I always wanted to ask a, you know, upcoming actor. Would you prefer to be in a blockbuster movie or in several of them? And he's like, well, what do you mean? I was like, well, if you got the chance to play Iron Man. And he goes, William, you know how I feel about Iron Man. And I was like, oh, wrong example.
Yep.
I did enjoy that show because he was so open about how he – you know how I feel about, you know, like, just screw Iron Man. I would never play that role.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't care if it's going to make, you know, $20 billion in the box office. No, I don't want that role. But then he did say, I understand what you're saying, but don't say play Iron Man.
Although you have
but
to admit, though,
yeah.
That, you know, that would be interesting to see him in the Iron Man suit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, honestly, one thing I will definitely – Mark Allen is, without a doubt, one of the nicest guys ever that we've ever had on the show. In fact, when I made the show page, I accidentally misspelled his name. And he said, oh, you misspelled my name, but it's okay. People probably won't even recognize it. I was like, no, Mark, No, no, no. I did not realize I did that. That was a typo. I will fix that immediately. And I did, and I said, forget the first link I sent you. Send out this link. Now, I mean, he's just such a nice guy.
Yep.
Yep.
And again, you know, coming back to talking about, you know, our return to the era with the show and everything else, I think Mark Allen is the best example. Here's a man who's willing to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning just to spend time with us on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like,
nice of him.
I hope you drink
yeah.
your coffee. And goes, no, I drink tea.
Yeah.
Really? you're just so sweet. Why are you such a nice guy? And yeah, it goes back to what you were saying. You know, he does deserve his break because he's such a nice guy, and nice guys cannot finish last. Period. He deserves
nope.
his break.
Exactly.
And I think that's definitely he's. He's just like, hey, look, you know, you spelled my name wrong. That's fine. You know, we'll go with it. It's like, no, you deserve to have your name spelled right. We're going to go with that. And then he was like, oh, thank you. Thank you for spelling. Like, it was just a typo. I'm so sorry. I didn't, but he is without a doubt one of the sweetest guys that you'll ever meet in the planet of this world. There you go.
Yep.
I said
cool.
it. Mark Allen, you deserve the sweetest guest award ever. Ta-da!
Yeah.
We just can't.
Ta-da.
We're very low budget, so we can't send you a trophy.
Yeah.
But we'll
maybe
announce.
An empty beer can and a plaque or something, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll send you a beer can or a tea bag.
There you
oh,
go.
That didn't sound nice.
No. Yeah, I don't think that would. Because tea bagging could be something taken wrong.
So that's right. He'll probably look at it and go, "What the hell is this?
You guys are crazy."
What? What the hell is it?
What the hell is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
Hey, I do want to make a couple of show announcements because we, you know, next week we got to be by the book again. We got to have guests
okay.
on. All right, Aaron D. Johnston, who is also a really nice guy. He's been really busy. Beard competition is like skyrocketing. And he's been on tour, so Aaron D. Johnston's going to come back.
Awesome.
Yeah,
the plan, man.
I totally made the mistake. I told Aaron D. Johnston when we were talking, and we were talking about rebooking the show, and I told him, I said, you know, I was really nervous about having you on the show. He's like, why, because I don't have that many followers? So I said, no, because I don't have a mustache and a beard. I can't grow one. I didn't know what questions to ask you, and he was just joking around with us, and you know, but yeah, he's definitely coming back on the 21st, which is next week.
Well,
cool.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
I'll have to send him a picture
and
show him.
And then on the 28th, I found out that I had an Olympian cousin. She was in the Olympics.
Wow.
I know. That's what I said. And I talked to my mom about her. She goes, hello, I told you guys when you guys were kids, yeah, you got an Olympian. You got a cousin that's in the Olympics. And my cousin Laura, her mom told her the same story, too. You know, you got a cousin in the Olympics. Oh, yeah, okay. You know. But we did. She was a bicyclist. In the Olympics, she's a two-time cancer survivor. She has a really great charity called Spokes for Hope. and she's going to be on in the on the 28th. I talked to her on the phone already. Sweet lady.
Nice.
Mark Allen
nice.
Might have competition. And then on the 5th, we got Joey.
Joey Ruin.
All right. All right.
We just booked him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, there we go. There we go. See, things are happening here. But,
indeed.
Okay, things are going really good right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right. But so, what about if things go wrong?
Bless you.
And Nick Belcher. Nick Belcher's right on cue. How about when things
right.
go wrong recently for the past couple of months? This is not, you know, the whole 12 years we've been on Blog Talk Radio, but since we've been back on and getting the show built up, we had things that went wrong.
Oh, yeah. But that's what makes it more memorable.
Yep.
Yes, and it's funny because the things that went wrong is a lot longer clips than the things that go right.
That's
not
a lot of
our show.
What the hell?
We're all that beautiful bean footage.
All right, let's roll it. All right, we're about to say things that went wrong so far.
Ew, that's going to be fun.
Yep, Willie.
Sure is. Waiting for somebody to talk or
nothing. Water sound.
Tom, there's some things that went wrong.
Oh, okay.
Hello,
Francie.
Yeah, Francie.
Hey, everybody, it's not Francie, but I'm gonna wait for her.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yes, now we can.
Now we can.
Okay. Maybe I handed Nick my phone. I put my phone on mute, and I'm trying to get back to my phone call, and I don't know how to do it because I don't know how to use a cell phone. Does that make sense?
Oh.
So if you guys can give Nick instructions, and he's got my phone right now.
Well, what kind of phone do you have?
Yeah. This is a clip.
Yeah.
I did tell you that I suck at cell phones, right? I can't get back to the call.
We can hear you.
Yeah,
I know because I got Nick's phone and he's got my phone.
Okay. Click on the phone and activate the screen and look for the mute button and then just tap it.
I can't get to the phone call. Okay, I got William Brower and Tom Sawyer as my last callers.
Yeah, but we're here.
Francie, remember, always hit the record button. Always record. Because if you don't, you're just going to be talking to everyone, and then you'll wonder, hey, we're done. And then all of a sudden you go listen, and there's nothing there. It's just dead air. And it'll be like Zombie Dave and I going, grrr.
I think you were kind of almost a perfect foil for horror in the film. You kind of got it's like an opposite. It's like the opposite emotion. You almost need them both to play off each other. Don't you think?
I'm having trouble hearing you.
I think horror is humor is a perfect foil for horror. They're like different ends of the spectrum, but at times. You can blend them to use them, like, say, in the movie The Raven or Army of Darkness or what's the William film?
Exactly.
They're a perfect foil for each other.
Yeah. Raimi is
Randy is definitely one of my idols. I love what he does. And, I mean, George Romero, same thing. Wes Craven had a great sense of humor that people don't realize.
He's driving all the way home.
Who is talking right now?
Sorry.
Oops.
Okay. Just
I
be careful
out
there.
I thought it was on mute.
We hear you. Who's talking right now?
I'm sorry.
I can't hear.
I'm sorry about that.
No
we
worries.
Hear you.
No problem.
Yay. Well, I'm glad I'm still on, and I'm loving hearing everything that you guys are talking about.
I'll tell you what. If you're ordering dinner, I'll take some mild chicken wings and at least six pack of Mountain Dew.
You know what?
There
give
you
me
go.
Some buffalo. Give me some buffalo chicken wings and some blue cheese dressing on the side.
I'll be right over.
Yeah,
sounds good. We'll leave the.
Yeah! Wow! Wow! You know, I'm not gonna mention the guest name, but the guy who said, "Who's talking?" I did get a message from him the next day, and he's like, "Why didn't you mute that person that was doing a food order?" And I said, "She was your guest. I don't mute the guests on the show." And, you know, it kind of turned into our fault, but throughout talking, we're all still really good friends, but, you know, he was really upset that, you know, somebody was talking in the background. Why didn't I mute it? First of all, I didn't know the area code, and I'm just not going to randomly mute people. Second of all, it is the guest, and I'm not going to, you know, mute the guest. So,
right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it was all handled really good, and I loved it. I loved it, William, when you gave a food order.
Well, yeah, I mean, I figure, you know, I heard wings, and I was like, yeah, you know, that wings do sound good about this time.
Mild, though? William, seriously, mild wings? Come on, man, don't you have a set of I bet Tom Sawyer would have said, give me the volcano.
Yep.
No, Tom, if anything, Tom would be like this. I'm gonna take the hottest thing that you have, volcano or even a meteor, comet. And a beer. I'm gonna need a beer. Or no, better make it two beers, and yeah, hot wings. Well, and an old
man. Oh man, a beer and hot wings actually sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Damn it! Now
oh, yeah.
I want some freaking hot. No. Oh,
Francie, I bet you'd like that Golden Corral honey-dipped Southern fried chicken too, like a bucket of that.
Shut up, Nick. Shut up.
Or lobster tail with the buttery sauce that you dip. I torture Francie all the time. I don't know why. But
well,
about
I mean,
food.
You know.
I know it gets to her. I think my son Charlie CJ always like bugged her about stuff. So I think I caught something from that. And so like I torture her all the time. People like torture though.
Yeah. Just remember the safety word is honey dipped chicken.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn it.
Or McRib sandwich.
Oh,
or Jim Boy's tacos. Or Egg Roll Express.
I think we just lost the hostess.
Sometimes I'm inside the house. Francie's in the front living room next to the front door. I open up the front door and she goes, "What are you doing?" And I'm going, "I'm looking for the egg roll truck."
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, and she goes, or she gives me the bird, which I don't need a bird. We already have one.
That's
well,
true.
The only time that we have to worry is if all of a sudden we start hearing you say something like, Francie, the door's locked, and I'm still outside.
Like Fred Flintstone.
Yep.
At night. At the
well,
end of every... It's funny because they didn't have glass, so all he had to do is just, like, you know, go a little to the right and crawl in through the window.
That is true. Why didn't he just crawl through the window?
Because they're
well,
stupid back then. It's the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that,
it
that
happens
explained it, I guess. That explains.
Maybe.
No, I'm saying, why didn't he crawl through the window?
Right. Well, I
okay.
mean, you know. That's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? We're never
the chicken.
Gonna know.
The chicken.
Yeah,
okay.
Because Noah didn't bring a couple of eggs. Because there was no incubators at that time. Wait a minute. There
well,
was
here,
no
thought...
Oh, crap.
Well,
which one did come first?
The chicken came from a meteorite, which was shaped like an egg, but it had a full-grown chicken in it. So when it landed and cracked, it was already a full-grown chicken, and then it mated with itself, and it had some eggs.
Well, no, I thought Robin Williams came out of the egg.
Well, he did.
Well, that's more...
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, you guys
not
are
a chicken.
You know I'm not,
Mark is not a chicken.
But he came from an egg.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, he did, but
didn't we all?
Not all things. Dinosaurs aren't, well, they actually turned out to be chickens. And they came from eggs.
Yep.
But actually, they say... Mm-hmm. That dinosaurs are chickens now. They're starting to try to turn chickens into dinosaurs. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I saw a few things on YouTube where they're genetically trying to enhance chickens to have like beaks that are more like velociraptor snouts.
Well, when he comes back on, we're going to have to ask Charles Pellegrino about that. And get his input on
them. Yeah, we got to get him back on. In fact, speaking of Charles, I do have a clip with Ron Fitzgerald and Charles on it.
And edited with perfect timing.
I got a terrible
Christmas
gift to tell you.
Here we go.
The one thing that really picked off the evangelicals was when I had given a lecture at the National Observatory of what ultimately became the Jurassic Park recipe.
What?
And I was being told afterward because my office had been raided and a copy of my book had been taken and that chapter was in there, and I was being told by people who now had government authority from the religious extremists, if you publish this book, we're going to make your life a boiling hell. And I published it anyway.
A bit of naughty fun. What's the problem?
Hey.
It's our sticky fun, Francie.
Hey, you have to admit, hearing Willie Nelson, did it bring back some memories?
Yes, it did. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that track by Willie. That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got to love Willie. I mean, come on, Free Willy. Isn't he in trouble again? Free Willy.
Well, I mean, what is he in trouble?
Right,
I
was going to say, you know.
That's
who's
true.
Who's
Willy
the
Brian? All right,
you know, it's just a bit of naughty fun. What's some trouble?
Hey.
It's dark, sticky fun, Francie.
See, we were just talking about the Jurassic, and I had the clip.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Who does that?
Who does that? That was a bunch of dark, sticky fun.
Yes. But it always is.
Yeah, Charles. We definitely have got to get Charles back on the show. I don't know if William, I did tell you, and I think I told Tom too, that after that show, Charles and I, we talked a lot afterwards.
Good.
I called him up because I was like, look, I did not cut off the show. Blog Talk Radio didn't. He goes, yeah, I heard the countdown, and no, you didn't. We just talked, and we laughed, and I was really intimidated by him because he's so smart, but yet he didn't talk to you like you're beneath me.
No, you are
peasants towards me. I'm your superior. I'm smarter than you. He really talked to us like a normal people.
Yeah. No, and then if you notice, he's even started interacting with all your posts. Like, so he commented on one of Tom's pieces the other day.
Oh, I did not. Really? Tom?
Yeah.
Tom, are you there?
Yes. Yep, oh. I'm here.
There he is.
I thought you were walking the dog. Okay.
Nope. Sorry, I kind of zoned out a little bit. I forgot to tell you, I got a concussion yesterday because I had a door when I was helping at work push in some carts. The damn door came down and hit me in the head, on top of the head. So.
Oh.
Yeah. It rung my bell pretty good. Yeah. You know,
did you see stars?
My brain, but it, literally see stars.
I seen that once, too. I was decorating for Halloween a couple of years ago, and I did not realize that I had the hammer on top of the ladder, and I was moving the ladder on cement, and it went, and the hammer hit me. Tagged me right between the eyes. I seen stars.
Oh.
You literally do see stars.
Well,
yeah,
I did. Well, you guys are very, very lucky because I didn't get hit in the head, but God, this goes back about a lifetime ago. But I was working in one of the local warehouses, and there was a guy that was having a bad day at work, and I was busy. Shoving things over into the compactor, and so the long story short, he decided to take out his frustrations, and he backed the baler door, and it went slamming right into my back.
Oh,
so, needless to say, when I kind of hobbled my way towards the supervisor, and I was like, hey, listen, that baler door just came down into my back. And, this is not comfortable.
Yeah, so, it's like a trash compactor. It's...
Yep. So, the long story short, and this is where it gets funny, at least according to some of the other eyewitnesses, because it got a little fuzzy for me afterwards. But, the supervisor gave me... a little packet of painkillers called Swift Painkillers. And he pulled it out of the first aid kit. He's like, take two of these, drink some water, and you're going to be just fine. I'm like, all right. So, pop the pills, drink the water. About 10 minutes later, I'm watching the light fixtures. It's going in circles. And the boss walks up to me, and he's like, are you okay?
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I am fine. How are you?
I'm not doing well.
Yeah, so the long story short, I ended up getting driven home and, crawled my way towards the bedroom, put on my Doors album, and then passed out on the bed for about 3 days.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, woke up super hungry, and I was like, okay, let me just figure out what's going on. You know, so I called the pharmacy up, and I'm like, okay, this is what happened, and this is what they gave me, and I'm just curious, what is it? And the pharmacist goes, hold on a minute, let me take a look. Comes back on from putting me on hold, and she's like, Mr. Brower, you said it's called Swift, right? I'm like, yeah, it's got a big giant S on the wrapper. It looks like the Superman logo. And she's like, sir, that was pure LSD. That was from the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Where did you get this from exactly? And I'm like, don't want to get fired. I found this in the grocery store next to the aspirin, I think, maybe. Possibly, I don't remember. Anyways, thanks for the information, Click.
Yeah, you know, I'm not being paid to promote this show. Have you guys been watching Dope Sick with Michael Keaton?
No. Not yet.
Oh my gosh, Dope Sick! I love that show. If anybody has not seen Dope Sick, I would recommend to start watching it. It's a Hulu original. It's all about Oxycontin.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the true story about Oxycontin.
Michael Keaton is really great in
Michael
it.
Keaton. But it is the true
I was joking
story
to Francie because the Oxycontin thing, they bring up Purdue Pharmacies, which is responsible for Oxycontin. And I was joking to Francie about, is that Purdue chicken? Because that was like a big, yeah. And then she told me yesterday that she was watching more of that series. And she told me they brought it up. They said, well, we're not going to pursue this legally. What have you got against the president of Purdue Chicken?
Oh, God.
What do you have against the Chicken King? And they were like Colonel Sanders, and they said, no, Purdue Chicken. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Nick and I were just talking about that.
Yeah, the funny thing is I've always been in California and I never heard of Purdue Chicken, but for a while, about maybe 7 years ago, I was really into, I don't know why, collecting as many fast food commercials from like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even 90s, or foreign ones as I could. So that while I'm working, while I'm like publishing books and whatever on the computer, I
Aaron
have all that background. I actually enjoyed working, listening to fast food commercials, and there's a lot of Purdue chicken. I'm going, never heard of that, but sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the East Coast. That's the East Coast.
You have to come over this way, but it's really good chicken.
Yeah, and Dope Sick, they mentioned that. They're like, why do you want to have a case against the Chicken King? And they're like, Colonel Sanders? And he goes, no, Purdue Chicken. And they're like, no, it's not Purdue Chicken. But
it's
here's the long story. I found out that after my surgery, I did not know this, I was prescribed Oxycontin. Thank goodness I did not take any. In fact, I locked it. And, Nick, I don't know where the key is, so let's just keep it locked. I locked it up. I did not take an Oxycontin for pain. I don't like prescription-made pain medication, and I was really proud of myself. And when I looked at it, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a generic form of Oxycontin. Yeah, I'm locking it away. And I want to, and I even called like the non-emergency line and I said, please come get these pills out of the house. I don't want these pills. Can somebody come pick up these pills? But I got to find out a way to, I'm really glad I locked it. It's in a luck box. So if anybody, I would recommend Dope Sick. If you have not watched it, it is amazing. It is an amazing story. I don't even know why I started talking about that.
Oh, because we were talking about LSD briefly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. William was on LSD.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that
a couple of times, man. That's fun.
You know what you know what my favorite version of OxyContin is?
What?
Is when I throw my T-shirt in the laundry and put some OxyClean in it.
Oh, my God.
You know, I like that
Lee Hayes,
too.
And I am going to show you all about the wonders of OxyContin. Just put it in your laundry.
Bam!
Okay. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, but I'm seeing. How far down the rabbit hole can we go?
All right, I think we got something with Nick.
Yeah.
I used to drop acid a lot too, and used to write when I was on acid. And there was a couple of times where I had like epiphanies that I still like look back on and go, huh. Like, for instance, when God made man in his own image, I was thinking maybe that's not literal because God is a creator and we as human beings like to create things. And I was at a motel room when I first thought of that. And to this day, I remember it. And I think back and I go, that still is profound. And I'm, you know, sober. But anyway, yeah, that went through a lot of. I dropped shrooms. And was taken on a tour.
Cows don't even eat their own shit, honey. Cows don't even eat their own shit.
No, but these are shrooms. Yeah, I dropped shrooms and I went all through San Francisco and had like an epic adventure. And met a band called Alien Sex Fiend and got my fortune told. But that's for another day. Yeah, all kinds of... Well, you know, I mean, I write... there's reasons why one writes. If you live on in a cabin in the middle of the wilderness, then what you have to write about is your experience, which is probably a bear digging in the trash or deer. But when you have like a psychedelic life, there's plenty to write about. So,
all right.
Okay,
you know
I'll stop.
But, I chose this man over this one.
You're going to have fun chatting with her. But you know that because you already met her. So that's,
I also put her on the spot when I did the live shows at the conventions. I was like, Deborah Lamb, you're live on the air. Oh, hi. she's just so bubbly. Ron, if you would like to call in that night, you know, say hi.
I'm going to come right on over and cut her in half while you interview her. How's that?
That would
even
be
better.
Awesome.
I'll be
you
around.
You look good for 68. You look good. I mean, you're still very handsome.
Why, thank you. Remember, you're married.
Nope. Oh, no, I'm not married yet.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like you have competition.
Stay away from my woman, Butch.
I'm not.
What a ring. The curse of Willis Ratchet.
There we go. Yes. Do you remember the nursery rhyme? I know you remember that nursery rhyme.
Hold on. What does it start with? Hold on. Of course I do, but now that I'm on the spot. Lilith Ratchet took a hatchet, gave her lover a head in the basket, called her something, call her name after midnight, feel her pain. Something like that. It's very close. That was very close to it.
It's in the right ballpark.
I mean, come on, we're having fun, and we're gonna have a lot of fun. And December the 5th, I did ask Eddie and Tom to come back on the show, but I mean John. And no, it's Eddie's birthday, so happy early birthday, Eddie.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy early birthday.
Yeah, early.
Yeah. So
And we'll do it now so we don't forget. Yes, Brandon.
William, you and Mr. Yeager had a conversation.
Oh God, yes we did.
Here we go.
I was able to tell Eddie about this time. He was kind of surprised. But Phyllis was actually one of the few movies, horror-wise, that actually gave me a full reaction.
Yeah?
Yeah. But and that's what made it so good, though, I will admit. But yes, it was kind of funny, though, because the problem was I decided to watch it late in the night after spending the day writing, and my wife works crazy hours, so she's normally up at 3 o'clock in the morning and out the door by 5 o'clock, and I'm usually working my way to bed within that time frame. So, because of the long story short, watched the movie, loved it, crawled into bed, fell asleep, woke up because I realized I needed to use the restroom. Go and walk over to the restroom, open up the door, and all of a sudden I see this figure there with the hair pulled back in a bun, and I'm thinking Lilith. So I just started backing up and said, nope. Backed all the way to the bed, see the covers and blankets over the head, and just went back to sleep.
I loved Mr. Yeager's response. He was taking on to your every word.
Now I do have an additional footnote to that story.
Yes.
Since Halloween was just a few weeks back, and they showed the Geico commercial where the guy climbs up into the attic, and then he looks over and he sees the all the dolls and everything else, and he goes, nope. apparently, the figure that I saw for clarification purposes was my wife getting ready for work, and so when they started to air that commercial, we were watching TV, and we watched it all the way through, and she looked over at me and she goes, you did the same thing like he did just a couple months back, and I'm like, oh. Okay. And?
That's great. I do see that now. I do see that now when he's like, nope, nope. And he walks down the stairs. I do see that now.
So again, definitely kudos to to Eddie and everybody else that was involved on Lilith, because that's one of the few horror movies that actually resonated with me afterwards. So
you do have to admit one thing. Let's go ahead and say it. They suck at hide and seek.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it
was a great movie. Tom, have you seen it yet?
Nope, I haven't. Sad to say.
All right, then I'm going to play a special song for you, Tom, and this is William and I talking to you.
Okay. Hello again. Hey, everyone's playing together right now. Look, there they are.
I'm gonna catch you. I'm gonna catch you. Whoa, stop. Luna, we can't play if you bite Koopa. We don't...
Okay, I should have had it where we say, William, we can't play if we bite Tom.
Well, sure you can. What
well,
the
there's the Francy flub for the night.
There we go. We're on cue.
Yep.
Hey, one thing that I did want to play tonight. Remember when David Lee Madison was on the show and he did say that he did have David Lee Roth call into the show?
Yep.
You want to hear it? I got it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go for it.
All right, we're going to play it. This was David Lee Madison, and let me sum it up. It was the Grammys. Van Halen came out with that album. They were watching the Grammys together. David was watching the Grammys together. Melanie Robel was the guest on the show. And Melanie Robel never cussed on the show before. Ever until this night.
Hey guys, in honor of the Grammys, I have a rock and roll legend, a rock and roll Hall of Famer here with me. Guy had a record come out last Tuesday. He sold over 100 million records worldwide. You want me to see if I can get him on the line?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Sure.
Hey, congrats to whomever that is.
Diamond, you.
So, Melody, you going to be
playing
John Philbin when you're out there?
Hold on.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he'd appreciate me discussing his personal life either, but hopefully.
I mean, he lives in my sister's neighborhood. I have yet to visit my sister, but they actually are practically neighbors.
Oh, very cool. Wait, I think we got a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer coming in.
Okay, he's willing to sing for us, but I don't think he wants to talk. Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it
Bono? He wants us to do the chorus. I think we'll know his voice. I'm gonna hand him the fold. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
I live my life like there's no tomorrow. All I've got, I have still. Please, I don't need to beg or borrow. I'm living at a
place
that kills.
Woo! Running with the devil.
Wow.
I'm trying to think.
Hey, you tell David Lee Roth there's another Hoosier on the phone here. From his hometown.
Hey. We got it right, guys. Good night, everybody.
All right.
For singing. Who was that?
It was David Lee Roth.
What? David Lee Roth? What? Really?
Yes.
Holy crap!
Get Diamond Dave on the phone.
You missed out on something. David Lee Roth just sang live on our show.
Get Diamond Dave on the phone. There's another...
David Madison right now. Holy crap! I didn't see who he is. I'll recognize the face.
You know who he is.
Van Halen! Oh, holy fuckers!
That was like, Melody Robel is like always like, yeah, we got to keep this professional. And you could hear it when she found out who called in. She's like, holy fucking shit!
Yeah.
She's like, wait, I know that name, let me see, holy fuck. Yeah, she always keeps it together with every show she, in fact, I will say, Melanie Robel was our very first guest. The very first person, she's so sweet.
She still is.
She is. Yeah, we're still really good friends, and I love Melanie. Melanie, I love you. And and she gave a message for John. Not tonight. I got a Butch and Charlie. What's Butch and Charlie? Okay.
It's over. Rob Zombie.
Hey,
Fancy. Been chasing the movie for 20 years.
Hey, Francie,
you should have
David Madison call in again and have another guest that kind of sounds like David Lee Roth, and he sings the same song, but he's Elmer Fudd, Wanting with the Devil.
Only Nick would come up with that.
I'm after the wabbit.
He kind of sounds like Elmer. All right.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's funny.
Yeah, isn't it?
Why not?
Funny.
All right, let's figure out what Butch and Charlie's all about.
His over. Yeah. Rob Zombie's been chasing the movie for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because, first it was a rumor. Oh, Rob Zombie's going to remake The Munsters. Is this fake news, or is this actually going to happen? It is going to happen.
It's happening as we speak.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great.
What are your thoughts on it? Have you seen who's going to play Eddie for this go-around? No, I'm not going to be on camera, but I'm very happy about it. Rob's a very talented guy, and he's totally capable of going in and out of different kind of genres. He's not all about monsters and gore, although his movies in the past have been that way. He loves the Munsters, and he's certainly going to be capable of bringing it to the screen and make everybody happy. So I couldn't be more pleased.
Yeah, I do remember that was one of the speculations. Oh, my gosh, Rob Zombie's going to do the Munsters movie. Is it going to be blood and gore? So
I don't believe
that.
We were driving down in a deep Brooklyn in the middle of the night, not a great neighborhood, and Charlie's first issue with him in it of Omni magazine had just come out. We're in the car. I stop at a traffic light, and Charlie sees a magazine stand in a bodega. He leaps out of the car, runs into the bodega, grabs the Omni and opens it to his article and starts shouting at the people in there, "This is me, this is me." Nobody spoke English.
Oh, God.
And he did.
Watch out, baby. Come on.
I thought that that Charlie clip where he jumped out of the car and seen the magazine, That's actually, I think that was a brilliant clip, because the fact is, when you get that package of your first book that comes out and you open it up and you see your book, you're holding your baby. So, and you do want to scream out, "This is me. I wrote this. This is my creation."
Yeah.
In
Charlie's case, though, it's even if you're in the middle of one of the bad neighborhoods of New York City,
you're gonna run out. You're gonna run out of that car, and you're gonna see your face, and it's gonna be like, "Oh my gosh, I'm published! I'm published!"
Oh yeah.
And back in that time, to be published was a lot harder. It was a lot harder. It's not like today on the internet, okay, I'm going to publish a book, but it's going to be self-published or, something else.
Back in the day, I used to walk 50 miles in the snow up the mountain, way across the valley, into this little cabin, submit my book.
Wow.
Was that back in the ancient times when the Beatles were still on the radio?
Back in the Roman days, yes.
I thought so,
I think Elvis had the number one song.
Back in the days of the Roman Empire when the Beatles were a big hit.
Yep,
oh, my gosh. Remember those typewriters where if you put, you were like, and both of the keys got, both of the arms got stuck, and you had to push them out, and you had to backspace, and then you had to take the white out, and you had to go, dry, bitch, dry. It's my novel. And then you got to type again, and you're like, fuck, what the hell is piece of dust in your keys, the typewriter, and you had to push it down hard, and you broke a nail.
Then at that point, you've been freebasing the whiteout for about 5 minutes, so you don't even remember what it was you were writing in the first place.
That was me drying the whiteout.
Yep.
Now I got spit stains on my computer screen. I gotta wipe those.
Whoop.
Isn't it so easy now? It's kind of like, okay, it's going back with Joey talking about nerds, man. We're nerds.
Yeah. Yes,
we
are.
Fun, though.
We're not Generation X. We're Generation Nerds.
That works.
Yep.
That works for me.
Yeah, I'll be a nerd.
I'll be the first one to admit if there's a, if there's a book sale, God forbid, I'll be the first one in the line.
Yep.
And I will be the first one to admit that William and Tom are nerds, and I was the jock in school, and I beat you guys up.
No,
I'm
nerds,
kidding.
Whatever.
I'm kidding.
Well,
I
was going to say, wow. I mean, so you wore the jock strap and the shoulder pads and everything, huh?
Well, no, I didn't have a set of balls.
Oh, okay.
I like the grape flavored nerds.
Come on.
Grape flavored nerds. I like to shake the box first before I open it.
Well, it's even more fun if you dump them into the soda. Turn it into its own little geyser.
Or, like, dig a hole in the backyard and, like, pour a ton of it in and then pour some baking soda and then a lot of, like, 7-Up. And then you run.
I do want to do the Mentos. Cola.
Yep.
I do want to do the Mentos and Coca-Cola test.
Facebook Live, like we did with the Kit Kat challenge.
There we go. Ah, the Ice Bucket Challenge! Oh,
and the Kit Kat
did you guys see my post I made last night?
Which one? I saw the one with Hermie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Hermie. I'm always posting Hermie. He's my little boo. No, apparently, and, I'm just going to say this for a second. I made the Jerry Springer top. It was his 20-year anniversary, and he only played a few Foo Fight clips. My face was in Times Square.
Wow!
Did you guys see that? Yeah.
I remember that when you showed me that on TV. You brought me out of the garage back into the house where I almost hardly ever go, and you showed me the TV. And you were saying, look, Jerry Springer. They showed a segment of me, and I was my face was on Times Square on the big screen.
Hey. Not one big screen, but many big screens with thousands of people. It was his 20th year anniversary show, and I made the clip. 20 years of food fight, I was one of the top six.
Wow.
Now, I did take surveys when I was in college. It's like, is your family dysfunctional? And one of the questions was, did any of you ever appear on a daytime talk show? And I clicked yes, and yeah, that made us dysfunctional. And I told my mom, I said, you know, we're totally dysfunctional. And she's like, screw yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. And I said, no, I appeared on the daytime talk show, and that made us dysfunctional.
Oh, Francie, you don't need Jerry Springer to tell you that.
You know, I mean,
it wasn't Jerry Springer. It was
no, we'll
survey.
Tell you that.
You know,
but I appeared on a daytime talk show, and that made our family just... I answered, you know, honestly, I said, yeah, I was on a daytime talk show, and they said, yep, you're dysfunctional.
Well, no.
You know, guys, I auditioned for the dating game around about 1984, I think. I didn't make it. I forgot why, but I was really nerdy. Yeah, I went to the studio and everything, and I auditioned for it, but I didn't make it.
Oh,
I tried to be sleazy. I forgot what the girl asked me, and then it was the answer that I gave, and I forgot what it was. But then they never called me back. I was boring back then, kind of.
Yeah.
That was before my drug days. Imagine if I dropped acid and then I
was
going to
say, was that before after you made cow shit?
But hey, if you go like this, you got yourself really lucky, though, because, lest we forget, the dating game had that serial killer that came on.
I told Nick about that. I said, you know, there was a serial killer that was on the dating game. Because, come on, that would have made the news everywhere. It did.
I guess the casting director probably was like, I don't know. This Nick seems too nice. We need something more creepy. We need somebody to actually kill the guest. How about the other guy?
I told you, Nick. There was a serial killer on the dating game, and you called me a liar.
You know, I was also on the People's Court. Yeah, well, I was in the audience, and I brought my friends, but my dad, the plaintiff was actually my dad's best friend, and he stood beside him the whole time. I had it on YouTube for the longest time, and it got like 17,000 views, and then they took it down.
Oh.
Because I guess the People's Court owned it. So, but I still have it on video, but I remember that. Back in the day with Judge Wapner.
Remember
Rain Man? Judge Wapner. Yeah, that was cool.
Judge Wapner 3.
It took up the whole, you know, how they would have like 15 minutes of like one thing and then the next 15 minutes, it would be like a half an hour or something, and it would be like two different, like, you know, things. This took up the whole show. It was really, and Judge Wapner like really got angry at one point. It was like, it was kind of crazy, really kind of crazy. It was called The Case of the Picked Off Tenant.
Well, yeah, that could definitely annoy anyone.
Yeah, it could. I got to try to put that up again. I think I've watched enough YouTube lately. I think I could probably put it up in increments and just have like a fair use act at the beginning, and I should be okie dokie.
Well, I mean, to see that, he sent them an email and go, listen, that's me in the audience. That's my dad right there.
He was kind of cute in the audience. I seen it. He was cute.
I'm always cute. I'm always cute.
I know. That's...
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, are you still there?
Hold on. Tom, are you walking the dog? Yeah, I lost you guys for a minute.
Okay.
I don't know. We're
okay,
still here.
Okay, wake up, because I wanted to play this with you. This was, speaking of family, this was Jim and I talking to you about, which I think is great, that you gave your daughter away.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. And you talked about it, and when we brought Jim and I on, he wanted to talk to you about that.
Even though you were
but
three feet
away from the Tom that had a wedding. I was listening about the wedding. Where's Tom? Is Tom still listening?
Yep, he's there.
Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
Tom Sawyer, what a wedding, man. What a wedding. Congratulations, man. I think that's a beautiful thing to give your daughter away. I mean, not to give her away, but, you know, man.
But he was already kind of taken.
I'm really excited to hear about
that. Walk her down the aisle.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I will tell you, you're a good father to call a puke fest a wonderful wedding. I was listening to you. I said this.
Well, it was only two or three people. It wasn't a puke fest. It was only a couple people, but that was not in the middle of the wedding.
There was something about the wedding that just made you remember that.
Well, that's because they were so drunk when you see them. I thought I was bad, but they were kind of worse. You know,
hey, that's going to be something you'll always remember. You'll remember giving her away, and you'll be like, I just love her. She's so sweet. And then you look over there to the right.
That was classic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? It was even more classic, the fact that we pranked you before the show and...
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the wedding.
Yeah, and I just finished off a strong drink, too.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, we're going to be going on the air soon.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. Okay, cool. You don't have to be on the show, Tom. It's okay. We understand. Oh, okay.
I did try calling in, too, but I kept dialing the wrong person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My phone actually dropped the call, and I had to call back in immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. Welcome back.
Oh, thank
you.
And
no
I even made an announcement to Echo. I was like, Nick, the phone just dropped the call. Yeah, I think that was great that you and Jim and I was talking about that. And it was funny that right before we aired, we called you.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. That was really great.
Well,
which
that's
was a
because
sober,
we love
but,
you.
You know, yeah. Well, love you guys too.
Tom, I don't think you should have given her away, though. I think that you could have at least.
She was a good man.
Hold on. Now we lost Nick.
Yeah.
And not only that, I thought it was great that you got to talk about the fact that your daughter, how many lives that she touched. And I thought that
was
awesome.
Yeah, she was a good person.
She still is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she is. She's just, you know, she's a good person. And it was really, you know, because we had let's put it this way, kind of a stepmother that's kind of thinking that we didn't raise our kids right. And, you know, to hear the story they told us, like, yeah. Yeah, well, you got one of those. So
I
heard all these stories that she did this and this and, you know, save people trouble, or they said they claim she saved their lives or their professional careers and stuff. That was
awesome.
Really moving.
Well, as luck would have it, if you need it,
I think Francie saved the phone number for the casting director for Jerry Springer. So maybe we can try to get you up on the Times Square next year.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
No,
I thought that was great. I'd go to her funeral to make sure. She's one of those people I'd go to the funeral just to make sure she's gone, you know. Yeah, okay, yeah, she dead? Okay, good. Just want confirmation.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me poke it with a stick and see. That way, I don't want to get up. I'll bring a steak or two and make sure they stay dead.
Yeah. Why the funeral director be like, sir, you can't bring that into the reception area.
I had an ex-boss that I told somebody I'm going to the funeral one day, and they go, why? He didn't like her. I go, I want to make sure they're dead. And I'll bring a hammer, a mallet, and some steaks if I have to. You know? So that's terrible. They go, try me. You know? You know, it's pretty good to say only about one or two people in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
let's face it, we all had somebody that pissed us off real bad, so, you know.
But that's why we're writers, because we appreciate the fact that they piss us off, because then we kill them in our books.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, the one ex-friend of mine that robbed the bank and took the money in my house, I've killed him at least a half a dozen times in books. Yeah, mutilated him a couple times, too. So, we were still alive, but didn't have legs and arms, you know.
And if anybody's listening, they are available on Black Bedsheet Books, by the way.
Yeah, they are. You know. Oh, yeah. So.
My phone call dropped. I don't know why you guys are talking about
We were talking about killing people and going to funerals to make sure they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, if
they're
already
dead, they're
going to
stay that way.
It was very graphic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I was talking about somebody, a certain person I know died. I go to the funeral just to make sure. And if I had to bring a mallet and steaks, fine. I'll make sure they stay that way.
Francie, he talked about steaks. Imagine steaks on the grill, Francie.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking through the switchboard, and I was going to talk about MMA fighter Fernando Farts.
Fernando Farts?
Yeah.
Well, actually, he doesn't. He eats anything.
Yeah,
I
was going to make a bean joke there, but...
Yeah.
Did anybody just hear my chair squeak?
No.
I thought that was a fart.
You know what?
No, that was my chair.
I gotta ask you one ball busted question. Do you guys ever fart in the ring? Let a little red biscuit come out or anything?
I farted a couple times. Is that what we're saying? Is that what you're talking about? Fart? I didn't hear you.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I got to tell you a story. I got to tell you a funny one. I fought at, there was one event that I fought at. It was actually a pretty big event. It was at the Foxwoods Casino. I don't know if you, I know, I'm sure everyone's heard of Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. And
that's
I fought
there.
Yeah, and I had a stomach virus that weekend. So, dude, I mean, I'm like running back and forth to the bathroom, back and forth to the bathroom, back. I'm literally, and the thing about it is, in Connecticut, Their commission is strict. So, I mean, they took my urine. You know, every time I went to the bathroom, they had two commissioners with me outside of the toilet making sure I'm not using any drugs or doing anything wrong. So, I'm shitting my ass off, farting away in the bathroom with two commissioners outside listening to everything. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, I hope this goes away, because I could just think of me being outside fighting. I get punched or kicked in the stomach, and I shit all over myself. I mean, that would be it for me. I would retire. I would probably disappear from the face of the planet. Something like that would happen to me. And
there we go. That is an MMA fighter talking about, is he going to fart in the ring?
That's a classic.
It is. And every time he had to go to the bathroom. People were following him.
Now, oh, do you have Howard Stern when he called in when he crank called you?
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta load that one up.
Oh man,
we
gotta
save
that
for
the next
up.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
We will play that.
Hey Francie, you should load up too a segment of when you had Elvira.
Oh,
yeah.
Cassandra Peterson. You know
what
was funny about that?
Yeah,
and Cassandra
she was drunk,
and she even said, "Oh my gosh, I'm drinking a lot of peach schnapps." And I'm like, "What? I stay sober for this show."
And
you're
you should
drinking?
Have. Oh, and Francie. remember Rick Hodla?
Rick Hodla.
He was a big writer that started when I did. Had his books out on the paperback racks when I did and stuff. And he was probably the last interview before he passed away that you did.
In fact, I will say this. Rick Hodla, I had a little flip phone, and I thought I was texting somebody else, and he said, Francie? And, yeah, we were going to get Ray Cotella back on the show, and we were picking up Charlie from school. Remember, Nick and me and Ray Cotella, we were texting each other, and he passed away that week.
And now, did Tom drive to the funeral to double check on that though, just in case?
No, he didn't piss me off, so we're good.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah. No, just a former boss and a stepmother. That's the only two.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
otherwise
I'm good.
Continue, guys.
Yeah. Francie, you should also do a clip of when John Skip and Spectre, big mega horror writers in the early 90s. Craig Spector actually was a co-host for a while on your show too, but we actually we couldn't get the two back together again. That would be phenomenal, but they don't like each other, and
they
can't
don't.
Get them together in the
and
same show.
John,
no way.
John Skip did say no way.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
We've been friends of both. I got high with Skip at a convention once. I badgered him, though, a little bit, though, at his table, saying, hey, do you got anything? And it's like probably 2008 or 7, something like that. And then we finally, went out together and shared a little doobie and talked for a little bit and stuff.
Should we doobie well?
Things. The thing is, though, with people like that on Francie's show and hanging out at conventions with people like that, it's like I would read their books. I'd buy them on the paperback racks at the grocery stores, like Skip Inspector's Scream or what was it? That heavy metal one that was I forgot its name. It wasn't Scream. It was. Fudge. And,
unfortunately, when we go to those conventions, Nick says, see, that's who she is. You didn't know who she or he is. And I'm like, Nick?
Yeah, I go to
trying
Chicago.
To get them on the show. And they're like, oh, you don't even know who I am?
Even like little moments with that one that I talked about with John Skip, just like smoking a little with them just outside of the convention by ourselves, just like, talking about nothing. And and from so many other, I mean, geez, there's so many. If I would have thought, back in the day when I first got published, I never thought that I would actually be over a period of time, from time to time, in the company of people that I sat at a table with my first son, Jeremy, at a convention in the 1990s where, what's his name? Reggie Bannister and his wife from Phantasm. We sat at this small table and stuff and ate dinner with them. And his wife was trying to recruit my son into an acting studio that she was doing and just, you know, and that was a great night. Sid Haig being invited into his motel room with him and his wife and me and some other guy. And it was just the four of us. And they, Sid got me to drink this, like, I don't know what it was. It was like an Arabic, like tequila kind of a thing. And I ended up throwing up in his sink and getting really sick and staying for a little bit over there with Sid Haig. And, you know, just all these from, you know, convention, just, you know, putting myself out as a writer and being a part of the horror community and everything. Over the years, I just have a lot of, like, stuff I should write all about, stuff like that.
So what's
I have a lifetime of experiences with little
really
things like...
Really fictionalize it?
Yeah, or something, yeah, or whatever. My memoirs, but no. I like to fictionalize.
Although,
okay,
anyway,
I got to cut out. I got to cut out.
I feel like it's cool that you also met Clive Barker.
Oh, yeah, talked on the phone a few times, and I'm actually looking at a letter on the wall it's part one and part two that are framed about what he thought of the Everborn and stuff. And I did have a book signing with him at Dark Delicacies back in the day too. And, that was really neat. I used to, even back in the 90s, whenever Clive Barker was, when I lived in Orange County, Southern California, and Anaheim, they had like, I paid attention to all the signings of the writers that I liked. I would frequent the D.R. Koontz. I got a bunch of D.R. Koontz stuff that he signed and Clive Barker and stuff. And wherever Clive Barker made an appearance, for a while there, I was there. So we would like talk on the phone. It would always be an appointment with his secretary. She would set it up. So like, you know, 5 o'clock after in the afternoon, by about 4 o'clock, I'd be like sweating going, oh, I've got an hour. And then Clive Barker. You know? and then we would talk, and you know, so he really liked
my what those things.
It's been a long time though. I haven't looked them up or anything. It's just been ever since probably just before I met Francie. I haven't talked to him. But he was a big fan of my talking.
Did I cause it?
Oh,
I'm kidding. I was making a joke. All right, you guys, we are about to be cut off. We were number three in popularity tonight.
Cool.
Awesome.
Really?
Lucky number.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got cool, awesome, groovy. Let's set it off with blooper questions. For the first 5 years.
There we go.
Yep.
There we go.
Let me. I gotta ask you this because I told Nick, I was like, I'm gonna do this. Okay. Do you know why you're here? Do you?
Do I know why I'm here on this radio show?
Well, I do know that I'm doing several of these kind of things. I'm out promoting my new album, Untamed the Songs. But if you have another notion as to why I'm on the show, I'd like to hear that.
I'm chopping screwed, and I'm loving it.
I am totally in my place. Okay.
That
timing was great. Who did that?
That's watching All in the Family.
Was it the toilet?
I think so. Was that? I wonder if Nick
was
in the phone.
Was it Link?
I think that was
Nick. I don't think.
Now, they blamed it on you, John Link, with the toilet. What's up with that?
No, I'm not at the toilet. I'm sitting in a chair.
We got David Madison here, which you remember last time.
Yep. Remember, David. David and I have shared history from Fright Night with Stephen Jeffries.
Yes. How are you doing, Craig, this lovely evening?
I'm sorry, I was trying to light a cigarette, and I miscued, didn't I?
Oh, dear God.
And I learned a new word this week. What is it, queef?
Queef?
Yeah, well, you...
Oh,
no. South Park knows. And if it talks about, like, a woman's vagina, you scratch it, and it's a queef.
She played that show, like, about four times on
demand. That was hilarious.
Cable.
Okay, well, we're not going to get into it. I got to play it again now that we're talking about it. Did you guys see that episode where the women were queefing? I never knew that even existed.
She's fascinated with that.
I'm going to queef now. Okay.
Do it.
I can't. I don't know how to queef. But apparently the women on South Park can queef on cue.
Does John Link put that in?
Oh, they're called...
Huh?
Never send a man for a woman's job.
Yeah, now tell us about the book.
It's all right. It has nothing to do with queefing.
Oh, it's nothing to do with queefing? So there's no scratch and
sniff? Aww.
Aww.
It is called blood queefing.
Well,
blood queefing.
You don't want that, yeah. SD. You got a new book. Queefing in the field. Or the children queefing. The children of the queefing.
The children of the queefing.
The children.
Well, I guess Francie had to actually go queef.
Right. Confessions. I'm just a wannabe filmmaker. Actually, it is my hopes, dreams, and aspirations to make midget amputee porn.
Edward X. Young ships me alcohol on Saturdays, so it is here by Sunday night by the time I start my show, and it makes me become a drunk.
I am wearing this regimental style, yes. And I tell you, the kilt has caused many, many a wondrous and amazing events at the cons that I go to. I always wear my kilts to the cons. I actually had an elderly woman. When I say elderly, I mean like in her 80s woman come up to me. She was just a guest at the hotel, and she's like, oh, I've always wondered what a Scotsman wears under his kilt. She lifted up, and she found out what a Scotsman wears under his kilt.
And what was her reaction to what the Scotsman was wearing or not wearing underneath his kilt?
Well, I took her back to my room, Ron. I mean, you know. No, I'm kidding.
So I definitely want to thank you for definitely doing this show. Because I got a confession to make, and I hope you don't think I'm a weirdo for this.
Uh-oh.
Your posters filled my wall as a teenager.
That's cool.
There you go.
That's cool. Well, in the future, when I join Scientology and we go looking for a wife, they're going to come knocking on your door.
Hello, Scientology here.
So you're part of Scientology.
What's that?
So you're a part of Scientology?
No, I'm a Catholic.
I love your show. You guys talk about everything and anything, and it's amazing, you know. And it's just fun. It's all, you know, last time I think I was on was, God, almost a year ago with David Madison.
We brought
Stephen Jeffries. It was me, David Madison, and Stephen Jeffries.
Yeah, I was telling Ron about that, and he was like, damn it. I was like, well, we're going to try and get Stephen on. Don't worry. Stephen Jeffries from Fright Night. He's really cool. He was a really nice guy. I think Nick was more shocked. Are you fucking kidding me? Stephen fucking Jeffries?
What I wanted to ask was, there's so many people that I want to thank, like, when my film comes out. And with your permission, I wanted to ask to be able to put your name in the end credits in the special thanks section just for being very, you know, just for kind of, giving me a mental boost. My mother would say the proverbial kick in the behind and inspire me to keep on going. I'd like just put your name in the special thanks at the end for being one of the people who inspired me to keep moving forward.
Yes, please.
We got Jonathan this week on the show.
I want to find your horror movie.
Hey, there you go. He wants a part.
Listen,
you got it.
That's the greatest question of the night, and thank you. I would love it. It would be a thrill. But, you know, you please, you got to let me just holler on the screen, you know, something, you know. Or give me the popcorn concession there, you know.
There you go. Well, I'll make sure you get an invite to the premiere whenever that may
be. Oh, you're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Did anybody sleep with their jacket after they got it? You know, they were so happy to have it.
No. For me, I'm going to be honest with you, and this might sound dick, but whatever. I didn't join Hell's Kitchen to get a black jacket.
I joined Hell's Kitchen
to walk through the door.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Frank, do you know who else is here?
Who?
Sue fucking Dent.
Sue Dent, bro.
Flynn.
You want to ever say hello? I got to find her first. She must have stepped out for a minute. But Sue fucking Dent is here tonight. Yeah.
Who do we have on tonight?
We have Sue fucking Dent on tonight. We have Sue fucking Dent tonight. If she ever comes on, is she on?
I'm here.
Yeah, she's here.
She's too busy talking in the chat room.
I'm kidding.
Say goodnight, Nick.